Welcome to Conversations on Public Health, a regular program from the Harvard School of Public Health that explores current issues in the field. Policymakers and economists agree that if U.S. healthcare spending continues to grow unchecked, the nation's ability to pay for non-health goods and services, such as education and infrastructure, will be greatly diminished. In a paper in the journal Health Affairs, Benjamin Summers, an assistant professor of health policy and economics and our guest today, looked at a variety of spending scenarios and concluded that one-time upfront reductions in healthcare spending in the range of 20 to 35%, a massive amount, would be needed to put off a huge decline in spending on non-health goods and services in the future. We know we've got a serious problem in this country when it comes to the cost of healthcare. How bad is it?
Well, there are a lot of different ways to think about the effects of increasing health costs on the economy as a whole. We can look at individual parts of the economy. We can say that the government is going to run into trouble with its budget because of Medicare spending. States will run into trouble because of Medicaid. Individual families will run into trouble because their premiums are too high. One of the other ways to consider this is to look at the economy as a whole, where we consider how long can we continue to have an increasing standard of living. And what I mean by that is that as the economy grows, in general, we're used to thinking of that extra growth going towards more spending on education, on clothing, on leisure, on activities that we all value. But if healthcare continues to grow at its current rate, at some point we're going to see a decline in our standard of living because all of the extra growth in our economy will have to sustain that healthcare cost growth. And that change is going to be a dramatic alteration in how we approach our general economy. Research has been done by Michael Chernow and others, looked at the current rates of cost growth in healthcare and projected that by 2050, if things don't change, that will be the year where our spending on all of these other non-healthcare goods will start to fall. And now if that happens, it's going to be a decline in standard of living from there on unless we can find some way to control healthcare costs.
You raised the possibility that we may not be able to slow the rate of growth in healthcare costs. If we can't do that, then what's your proposal?
Well, the two broad ways that we can think about dealing with healthcare costs is first to slow this rate of growth over time. And this is something that's been labeled bending the curve by a lot of politicians and economists. And the basic idea here is simple, that if you can slow the rate of growth from year to year in healthcare costs, that eventually we can help postpone or maybe even avoid the point at which our economy for non-healthcare spending will have to start shrinking. The other possibility is instead of looking at the year-to-year growth is to say, well, right now, is some of what we're doing unnecessary? Could we cut current healthcare costs in a way that protects our long-term economic safety? And an easy metaphor here to think about is there's a current balance on a loan, and then there's the interest rate over time. You can save money by reducing the current balance now or by lowering the interest rate over time. Most of the proposals, or at least a lot of the rhetoric in health reform, has been focused on trying to reduce that rate of growth or bending the curve. The problem is we actually don't have any great evidence that any of the policy tools we're trying are going to be effective at doing that. Now, I certainly think it's worth trying a variety of different approaches to see if we can find something that will succeed in bending the curve. But unfortunately, we are speculating as to how successful that would be. Meanwhile, a lot of the other cost-saving approaches we do know work will operate in that other way, which is they'll reduce the current level of spending, and that will protect our economic security going forward. So what I was looking at in this paper is getting a sense of how big a reduction in current spending do you need before you really start to impact that long-term trajectory of our economy. And unfortunately, a small change won't do much. We really have to start cutting our current spending on healthcare by 20 to 30% before we really have a long-term effect on our economy. But that said, we have a lot of tools at our disposal that can reduce the current level of healthcare spending. These are things like managed care, cost sharing, bundled payments where we change the incentive to providers to, instead of just do more for their patients, to do better for their patients, which may not always require them to use more services. There's also the possibility of changing the nature of our workforce, meaning that we have more doctors who are in primary care as opposed to specialties, since previous research shows that areas with more primary care doctors provide higher quality health care at a lower cost. Overall, we know that in the U.S., when you compare different areas, that there's a lot of variation. Some parts of the country spend 30% more on healthcare than other parts, even though their patients don't do any better for that extra spending. So if we can get the same level of health for less spending by reducing some of that variation, that would be another way to improve our healthcare system, avoid some of these long-term trade-offs, and not have to sacrifice health in the process. So I think one of the key points from this paper is saying, while it's not easy, some of these steps that can reduce our current level of healthcare spending may be necessary to protecting our long-term economic health, in particular if we aren't able to find effective ways to slow that cost over time, that bending the curve.
This has been a Harvard School of Public Health recording. Please visit us on the web at www.hsph.harvard.edu.